Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 295. So I've just finished recording the conversation with my guest, Darien Slayton Fleming, author of Defying Death, Living an Empowered Life with Multiple Disabilities. And Darien lives in Portland, Oregon, US. Darien Slayton Fleming is a certified happiness trainer and licensed clinical social worker. She's the author of Defying Death, Living an Empowered Life with Multiple Disabilities, and the author of Speak Up for Yourself, Get What You Need and Feel Good About It. She describes herself as a mum, a grandma, a widow, a therapist, an advocate, an author, and a deep thinker, a woman with multiple disabilities who doesn't let anything stop her. Based in Portland, Oregon, Darien operates a thriving therapy practice in which she encourages clients to find their voices and speak up for themselves, and guides people worldwide to overcome unhappiness through changing core beliefs, thoughts, habits, and behaviours. So first up in our conversation today, Darien shares a very tender dream. As always, I ask our guests not to tell me anything about their dream until we start recording. In my work with clients, I ask people to send me their dreams the day before, so I have time to consider them before we speak. But I know from feedback from our listeners that you enjoy hearing how the process unfolds when I have no prior knowledge of the dream. So we explore Darien's dream, and that opens up into a window onto her inner world and how that connects with the outer world. And gradually we move on to her work and her life and what she can offer you. There are some beautiful stories here, including she goes into the trauma that she faced when she was two, when she faced death, but fought to hold on to life until others could help her, and everything that led from there. Right up to her work as a happiness trainer today. And just before we go to that conversation, here's a quick reminder of where you can find out more about my dream resources, services, books and courses. Simply go to my website at janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And at the end of my chat with Darien, we share her contact details, and these are also in the show notes. So let's go on. Let's meet Darien. Welcome to The Dream Show, Darien. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
I have to describe to everyone listening, because I so love this, that your background, we were chatting about your background just before we started, and that you're at the beach and it's a beautiful palm tree and there's waves moving. And then you explained to me that although the waves look like they're moving, they're actually part of a painting behind you. Can you just describe that a little bit more for our listeners? Because it's amazing.
Well, it's just a very large painting of a wave, which puts me in mind of my favorite place, which is being at the ocean. And it is actually not moving, but it looks like it is. So that tells me that since you see that, the painter must have been very good at portraying that image. And I do mostly telehealth work. And so I chose that background because if it's calming to me, maybe it is calming to my clients that see that through the camera when they come to a telehealth appointment.
It totally is. And, like, you know, I guess in asking you to describe there, we're kind of beaming it out to everyone listening as well. So that's really lovely. Okay, well, I know that you've got a dream, so I'm all ears. Would you like to describe it?
All right. My son passed away unexpectedly due to a drug overdose in February of this year, just after he turned 40. And I guess this is backstory that I feel I need to give because my brother's son passed away when he was 20 due to an accident, and he has come to my brother and my nephew's mother several times over the years in dreams, and my brother told me in 2 or 3 weeks Tim is going to come to you in a dream, and I did not believe him, and I just said, oh sure, okay. And almost 2 weeks to the day, he did come to me in a dream. And this dream was we were taking a city bus to a restaurant. And just so people know, I do have a vision impairment. And so since I don't drive, that's how my son and I got around most of the time, if we didn't have rides. And I saw him come to me in a dream. We were on the city bus, and when we arrived at our location, I waited for a few minutes, and I need to tell everybody that I have multiple disabilities, so I use a four-wheel walker as well. And so I'm standing up on the bus waiting for the driver to bring me my walker because it had been stowed while we were traveling. And finally I said, I need my walker. And my son said to me in a very kind, calm voice, the driver's getting it, Mom. And then the scene changed. And we were walking down this very long flight of stairs. And in my dream, I knew that we were at the mall that we used to go to when he was younger to see movies and also to go to the pet shop and things like that. So there was a very long flight of concrete steps with a iron hand railing, and I was not using my walker. And we walked down the stairs side by side, in step with each other. And I don't walk in step with anyone normally, just because of my gait and things like that. And the stairs are long, so at the bottom, we had to walk across a large expanse of parking lot and around the mall to get to the entrance. And in my dream, I saw my son as kind of like a column of silver energy. It was his shape, and it was kind of shimmery, silver. Not quite solid, not quite liquid, just this column of energy. And those words that he spoke to me on the bus were the only words he spoke to me in the whole dream. So when we got to the restaurant, other people in my family were waiting there. And I need to include right here that we were all meeting at this restaurant as a family with my parents because we had all been given greeting cards, but they were like gift cards. But we were instructed not to open those cards until we met in person. And when we arrived at the restaurant, my son melted away and went and mingled with the other people in my family. And we went into the restaurant and were in the lobby area where you wait to be seated, and it was very crowded. And I still did not have my walker. And it became so crowded that people were beginning to jostle me. And I started to feel unstable. And at that point, I kind of raised my voice and I said, isn't anyone going to bring me my walker? And at that point, my mom, who can be kind of stern and very logical, said in her kind of parental voice, he broke it, Darian. The driver broke it. And at that point, I woke up.
Oh, wow.
And I did have some feelings upon waking, and I didn't know if you wanted me to go into that.
I'd love you to go into it because it's sort of part of the whole dream, really, if it's directly on waking. Yeah.
Yes. I was kind of resentful because I thought the dream was about Tim coming back to me. And that's what I want to know more about. Like, what was his purpose for coming back? And was he, why didn't he speak to me other than that one line? And I have all kinds of thoughts about it based on my waking life experience with my family. But I just thought, oh my gosh, why do I have to remember this feeling of feeling like I was being scolded, even though I probably wasn't being scolded, when what I wanted to take from the dream was my experience with my son.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. First of all, of course, I'm sorry to hear about your son.
Thank you.
It's still very fresh, being just this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an amazing dream. You know, I love that silvery, shimmering column of energy. It's just so evocative. Mm-hmm. There was just one bit I wasn't quite sure whether I picked up correctly, so I'll just make sure. When you were at the restaurant, you said, my son melted away and mingled with the family. Was that he melted away and you mingled with the family, or he mingled with the family? I just didn't hear that bit correctly.
He mingled with the family.
Oh, he did.
That point, I was by myself the whole time, even though there were people around me.
Yes, yeah. And you didn't get to open the gift cards.
No. I still don't know what those were about.
that wasn't one of your waking thoughts in the morning either. Well, damn, I didn't get as far as the gift cards. There was a lot of waiting in the dream. You were standing waiting for the walker and the bus, and then you were waiting in the lobby. There was a lot of, I think there were three times you mentioned waiting. I can't find the other one in my notes now, but I noticed there was a lot of waiting. Which was just something that I noticed. And, of course, at the end, you were waiting, but you didn't get to your gift cards either.
No.
I wonder, in some extent, whether you were waiting for Tim to say more and he didn't. There was a lot of waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting,
right.
I'm waiting. It's so difficult to know, isn't it, when somebody dies, whether when you have a dream of them, whether it is them in some kind of essence or energy, or whether it's your thoughts and feelings about them or what they represent. And I'm just preluding that for so many people listening in who may sometimes dream of people that have passed, and those people that they dream of can be quite out of character in their dreams, can say terrible things to them. So I just want to make sure that everybody listening in knows that when you do dream of somebody close that's passed, it's not always necessarily because you're making a connection with them. It can also be that your dreaming mind is bringing that person in as a symbol of whatever they represented in life, or, you know, to work out some other issues. So I just wanted to lay that out there for everybody else. And it was also very interesting that your brother said to you, you're going to have a dream of Tim in 2 to 3 weeks, and then you had it in 2 weeks. Did you feel that there was any part of you that might have made the dream happen or invited it in because your brother gave you that kind of doorway that this is possible?
No, because I didn't. Well, let me say it like this. I didn't believe it would happen, but I guess I will say I wanted it to happen. And since I have been following the field of positive psychology and energy psychology, and that everything is energy, I think that may have somehow created that knowledge that I have now, may have created that vision of him,
Yes,
maybe.
that makes a lot of sense. Whether or not his energy was in the dream, the fact that you were acknowledging in the dream that even when we pass, whatever happens, really life is energy, and we may individually we have our interpretations and our perceptions of what's actually happening in life. But if you look at it from a different angle, everything is energy, and so at one level your dream is saying, well. If you're in a sense waiting for information from your son or connection from your son, just remember that everything is energy, and his energy, your dreaming mind is processing all this, and his energy is with you, and perhaps calming, because he was very calm in the dream. He re made you feel very calm. So, even at one level, that the dream is saying, A, you can dream of what you want to dream. Your brother-in-law programmed it. You've been studying more positive psychology, and you thought, well, maybe I can do this. And you did, so congratulations. And that your dreaming mind was saying, whatever lies out there in the great unknown, which we cannot really know until we die ourselves, your dream was reminding you that your frame of reference is that everything is energy, and you can somehow touch and feel that energy in your dream. And to me, one of the things that stood out was the gift cards at the end, because it's like there is no gift in somebody dying. Of course, there's no gift in someone dying, but from the positive psychology framework, we look to see, well, what can I take forward from this? What are the gifts, not from the death, but the gifts that I can find within myself? What has been touched that can make me open up in ways that might not otherwise have opened, that kind of gift? Oh, I just realized as I said that I'm talking about opening, and in the dream you weren't allowed to open the gift cards. You were still
No.
waiting to open them. So there may be something in that, yeah.
But there is, I don't want to lead this process, so but before his death, he was very unhappy, and he started being brutally honest with me about things I didn't know happened to him. And I believe he had a lot of conflict he was trying to resolve about having a mom who was visually impaired with multiple disabilities, and lots of thoughts about how he could have had a better life if he had had a different mom. And then, but in the dream, he spoke kindly to me.
Yes.
And that was comforting.
Oh, so comforting, the thought of his perspective from a more liberated position. That was, gosh, Darian, that must have been awful to hear what he said to you in those days. That must have been so terrible. My heart goes out to you. And I wonder
Thank
whether,
you.
with that image with your mum scolding you at the end, and you said, why did I, you said, after I woke up, I was thinking about this, and I thought, all I wanted was to experience the situation. Why was I left with the feeling of being scolded? And I'm seeing and hearing from what you're saying now, that kind of linking back to the way Tim was scolding you in many ways before he died. And, even though you and I and everybody listening knows that those were his thoughts for whatever reason, and not true, there will be a part of you that took that on, because we all do. A part of us goes, oh, is that true? Is that really right? So maybe a voice within yourself that took on, oh, I wasn't a good mother. I had various disabilities. I was blind. And although you absolutely knew that was not true, even as it happened, We all do that. We absorb the things that people tell us and they become a voice and we push it way down, way down, way down. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. And because you particularly said he was scolding you over your how he perceived your mothering, maybe that's why at the end of the dream it was your mother that appeared in the dream scolding you.
Interesting. I don't want the listeners to think that it was all bad, because there were beautiful, beautiful things in our relationship, and we were working on healing, he and I, but I just don't feel that he felt he could get past, and it wasn't just me, you know. His unhappiness was not just with me, and I just have not gone in to... he had an unhappy marriage, and so I know that it wasn't all me, but of course I experienced this from my perspective.
That's exactly right, yes, and we, you know, who better than your mum to lay it all on rather than to lay on everybody else and his own choices and judgments. But yeah, but so you've got clarity on that, but deep down inside you took it on, and that part is expressing itself from the dream, I feel, you know, scolding you. So it's kind of good to know that that you hear that voice and we're going to do something about it. She does not need to have that opinion at the moment. And, you know, maybe at some level all the waiting in the dream is waiting for some resolution on that, you know, waiting for an end to that feeling, waiting to come out of something like this.
Definitely. Very much so. Your family dynamics are complicated.
Yeah, so complicated. And is that why you've got all the family in at the end of the dream, do you think?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. It's beautiful that Tim appeared so with such kind of crystal purity, you know, that image of the silver and the column kind of upright and silver. The energy was so pristine, wasn't it? How would you describe the energy?
It was like we were one. I think I was struck by the fact that we were walking exactly in step, side by side. Yeah, as a visually impaired person before I used the walker, often I would walk sighted guide with him as well as other people. Sighted guide meaning holding on to the sighted person's elbow as we moved through space. And in this dream, I wasn't holding on to him at all, but we were in sync with each other.
That is so beautiful. So at some level in the dream, you're becoming in sync with the energy that you feel that your son has now, like liberated beyond judge being judgmental of people like you.
You know? Maybe so.
Sort of, and more in sync also with the fact that you said you've been studying energy work more or the understanding that life is energy. So in the dream, you're walking in sync with that sense of life is energy. So regardless of, you know, the dream is not about how you physically get around in waking life. The dream is all about your inner life. So in a sense, there's this inner world where places where you might not have necessarily felt easy to get around or guided to get around, in the dream there's a sense of, I've got this. I'm in step with myself. I'm in step with the energy that I feel that perhaps my son is now experiencing. I'm in step with my previously sighted guide. There is, you know, I am in my dream perhaps finding a part of myself that is like Tim as the sighted guide. There is a part of me, Darian, that is a sighted guide that I'm seeing as this beautiful silver version of Tim. Mm-hmm. And within myself. Instead, there's something in waking life at the time of this dream that I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm just waiting for something. And there's so much waiting, and in the lobby in the dream, there's potential crushing. I'm feeling a bit crushed here or there, and I'm waiting. And yet inside me, I don't need to wait. I have a part of myself that has an inner sight and can guide me. And it feels so liberating.
That's interesting. It was also interesting to me that I didn't ever seem to need my walker during the dream.
Yeah. And that's it. It wasn't only not there, but you did not need it. And it was interesting that we found out at the end, according to your mum, that the driver had broken it. Was it he broke it?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. But in at the end there too, I was feeling unstable. I thought I was not feeling safe. As people jostled me.
So although you were feeling, through the rest of the dream, that you were feeling comfortable and guided, and hey, I don't need my walker, and look at me, I'm in step. That changed towards the end of the dream.
Yeah, I find that interesting.
Mm. So, what happened just before that? Before that loss of balance, let's have a look. I mean, you went through all the. I wanted to ask you just before we get there. You said that the place, the mall, reminded you of where you used to take Tim when he was younger to go to the movies and the pet shop and things.
Right.
That long flight of concrete steps with the iron handrail, was that actually from that centre, or was that a dream thing?
Yes, yes. And I thought afterwards, that is where we used to go and do something together that we enjoyed doing together. When he was a young boy, early teen, and that was a good time.
It was a good time. So there's a sense from the dream then, and whatever it is I'm waiting for now, I really, from the inner world perspective, perhaps what I really need to do is tune into what I enjoy, what I, Darian, enjoy in life. Get back that feeling, the same feeling that I did things with Tim when he was little and we enjoyed. Get back to that sense of joy.
Yeah.
When I'm otherwise feel that I'm waiting, you know, because I love from the beginning of the dream, you're on the city bus, you're going to a restaurant. So a restaurant is, well, you describe a restaurant to me in energetic terms.
Oh, it's where you go and eat good food and visit with people you're sharing the meal with.
Yeah. So good nourishment. Good sharing, good nurturing, if it's family and food maybe as well, or not?
Well, yes, I would say that usually those would be better times with my family. It was something I could actually do with them, as opposed to hiking or, you know, walking on a moving dock, getting into a boat, the kinds of things we also did together that were harder for me, required more support from them to do.
Okay, that's really lovely. So the beginning of the dream, then you've got that sense, I'm going somewhere, which is not only nurturing and nourishing, but it's actually easier for me to do than some of the challenges that I might otherwise let myself in for from time to time.
Right.
I'm looking at the time of this dream. Perhaps I'm looking for more of that. I'm looking for more of a sense of ease. Maybe I sometimes give myself too many challenges. It's good to have that sense of ease and support.
It sounds like you know me. I do. I take on a lot. I'm always busy.
Yeah. And why do you do that?
To feel competent, probably. I do the things that I know I can do. And that gives me a sense of confidence and competence.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. So it's not not necessarily stopping to do those things, but perhaps you're doing so many of those things that you need more time at the restaurant. You need more time with the ease, with the support, with a sense of tuning into your inner ability to visit places where you feel that you've enjoyed in the past, and more of a sense of joy, and being mm-hmm. in step with that inner sight, that insight that you have, the guided sight person within you.
Right. And I feel like I've reached that point in my life where I'm allowing myself more of good. That and able to notice when I feel like my true authentic self. And I have also lost my husband 9 years ago, who was my soulmate, and losing my son, you know, trying to get my center back. And I purchased a home before he passed away, actually, where it's open, the floor plan is open, I can get in and out easily. I have a puppy that I actually get out in my end level backyard and play with. And, you know, I am here now accessing joy and able to feel like my true authentic self. Maybe not for the first time in my life, because I think I had that with my late husband. But now it's me relying on me. I do have a housemate that is helpful, but the energy of feeling that joy is unlike anything I've ever experienced. And at the same time, it's kind of weird because I have that joy and yet I lost my beloved son.
Yes, it's that's so beautifully described. And, you know, and sometimes our dreams, it's when we are recognizing what we've got and recognizing the changes that have happened with us that the dreams really can lay it out, you know, or you've been mm-hmm. challenging yourself too much. Remember that space of ease and joy. And I hear what mm-hmm. you're saying about your son, you know, when somebody dies that's close to you, of course, there's all the grief, there's all of that. But mm-hmm. one of the things that I find happens, and that many people I speak to happens, and I'm sure this happens to you too, is that you suddenly become aware that you have life. Yes. And how do I this and yes. that sense of, I think that's the sense of joy that you're talking about, that sense of I feel connected to life. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I think I've learned something really interesting as I found this field of positive psychology and manifesting. And in September, I became a certified happiness trainer after going through the certification course with Marcy Shymoff, who wrote the book Happy for No Reason. And the definition of happy for no reason is a feeling, it's a state of inner peace and well-being that is not shaken by your circumstances. And that is something that that's a way of thinking about what happens to me in a way I've never thought before. And I'm just struck with awe sometimes that I actually have poignant moments of laughter and joy, even in the midst of my grief. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And I certainly want to get on and talk about your happiness training and everything that you have to offer. I think I just wanted to mention maybe one more thing about your dream, if it's okay with you. You know, there's that step, there's that overall feeling, which is everything that you've described, which is I'm in step with my inner guide. I know what mm-hmm. I'm doing. Just the one remaining issue is that there still seems to be a lot of waiting. And we've talked about that a little bit. And the dream, your inner mind has given you this idea of there is a gift yet to be opened with all the gift cards. But just before that, that's when things disintegrate a bit in the dream. You're feeling more unsteady. You're feeling a bit crushed. And I'm waiting to open that gift. So, and then that inner voice speaking to you and scolding you and saying that the driver had broken your walker. So the driver may be the part of yourself that is driving yourself in your outer world, maybe related to what you just said, maybe taking on too many challenges sometimes. I'm driving myself too hard. Yeah. And that's kind of breaking your walker, meaning you're feeling less stable in your outer world because you're putting yourself under, driving yourself really hard. And so that can be giving you that unstable feeling. And then joining that is that inner voice saying, scolding you, which, so, you know, it, at the end of the dream, you've probably already done this processing as we've been speaking, is letting that inner voice go, that scolding mm-hmm. voice go, to maybe, if we were working longer, and I really, you know, we really need to move on and talk about your right. other stuff, but if we were working on this longer, I'd probably be taking you through a dream alchemy process of getting you to imagine you're in the end of the dream in that lobby, but instead mm-hmm. of feeling crushed, the crowds evaporate a bit. And then as an energy, similar to Tim's energy, as an energy, they actually come behind you and help you and support you and move you forward. So you've got that feeling again of stability, maybe not having to be need the walker even. You're going with the energy. And then I'd probably get you, we'd probably agree what's going to happen, but I'd probably get you to visualize opening those gift certificates and just seeing what your unconscious mind has gotten there for you. So we would do all of that.
I think there's a theme in my life that I never quite arrive where I want to be. I always want to know what's going to happen. And so, I mean, there's a lot of thoughts I've had about what my dream could mean. But I think something that maybe it might be telling me is what you're saying, that I can let go of that inner voice and trust that I am okay just the way I am.
Yeah, totally. And that sense of waiting to see what's going to happen, is that, I guess it's a kind of anxiety too, isn't it? Or what's going to happen? You know, worrying about the future rather than living in the present, which you know from all your work is the key. But yes. Still, we're all human and we do that thing. When you, in waking life, when you do what you said there, you're always waiting for the next thing. When you achieve that thing, do you quickly go on to wait till the next thing as well?
Yeah. Always, okay, now what?
Yeah.
and isn't that's very interesting, because I think one of the things all of this has been teaching me is the importance of just being grounded in the present moment, because that's the only thing that I have control over, is what I do in my present moments.
Yes, that is so absolutely beautiful. If we, I'd love to ask you to explain more about your certified happiness training and how you help people, but even though we've just talked about being in the present moment, can you give a little bit of context? I know that you said that, and you say in your books, that at age 2, you faced death, but you fought to hold on to life until others could help. Can you help us to understand what happened?
I do not remember that time. That is what I imagine I must have done, because I became ill with what they called laryngeal tracheal bronchitis, which is, I would say, like having croup. And I was getting worse and unable to breathe. And my mom took me to the hospital. And this was in 1958. And there weren't monitors in the nurses' stations so that they could observe what was going on with patients in the moment, and they didn't know CPR the way we do these days. And part of the story I only learned coincidentally a few years ago that we didn't know at the time. But at the time, it was shift change and the nurses got busy. And when a nurse went and checked on me, she found that I was not breathing. She described it later when we heard the rest of the story as my sternum was distended. So my lungs weren't, I wasn't breathing. And she paged the doctor who said he was at lunch and he would come and take care of me when he was done eating lunch. And
When he's done eating lunch.
so she raised a ruckus and ran to the surgery area, and doctors came running, according to her, and they actually had to surgically open my chest and massage my heart to revive me. So what I took from that is I was in deep trouble, and yet somehow I managed to hold on until somebody discovered me and took care of me. And so all my life I've had to figure out how to take care of myself, and it just is kind of interesting to me that I'm losing my train of thought. It just, to answer your question, I believe I'm a fighter. I think I've been fighting since that time. It's kind of shows up in my personality. I'm kind of outspoken. Probably some people would describe me as demanding, but I also think I'm very strong and someone that makes a difference to other people because of what I've been through.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I actually also wrote down something else that you said that you've just alluded to about your voice. What is it? Your mum told people you had a lot of spunk. Others said you were outspoken. Some encouraged you to tone it down. Others complimented you on speaking up. But you say that in the beginning, your outspokenness caused you more problems than it eliminated, but you eventually found a way to make it your strength. So yeah, you've done. And you also wrote a book. What was the book you wrote about that?
My first book was called Speak Up for Yourself, Get What You Need and Feel Good About It. And it's full of assertiveness strategies and case stories about people who spoke up and got what they needed or didn't speak up. And what I think what I would say is no matter what people say or think about you, if you really want something and you think it's right for you, by all means, speak up. And if you get accused of being outspoken like I do, then learn how to use it to your advantage. And I think that's why I wrote the book, what was to give people ideas on how to speak up respectfully without giving up what's important to me and ultimately feeling good about the outcome of my experience.
That's absolutely fantastic. That, you know, most people on the planet should read that book and learn that
Thank you.
message. And you definitely speak up for yourself now in all the best possible ways. And then your second book was the Defying Death book.
Don't know why I didn't write that book first, and I think that's the public story about me. You know, we alluded to the parts of my story I'm not as proud of and that are still with me, but yeah, the book is called Defying Death, Living an Empowered Life with Multiple Disabilities. And I defied death. I had a brush with death and I lived to tell about it. I used to have a waking dream. I call it a waking dream, where I was floating above the family room in the first house I grew up in, and I could hear my mom and my grandmother walking around and talking. And it used to be kind of eerie. It would happen whenever I injured myself or was really sick. And now I kind of imagine that maybe that was me way back when I was two saying, I'm still here. Don't let me go.
That makes so much sense. You must have at age two, to some extent, had that feeling of being outside of the physical sensation of your body, out of the pain, and being connected with what was going on, and that same kind of feeling in waking life when you had that waking dream, and that which gave you your strength, to be able to step out of your pain and see life from a different perspective, which is, I imagine, but I'm yet to be educated on what you do as a happiness trainer. How did you get into happiness training? Because in your other life up to then, you've been a full-on, I think you still do, work as a clinical social worker.
Yes.
And
So I have a I am a licensed clinical social worker, but as a human being outspoken as I am, and losing my second husband, who really was my soulmate, I have struggled a lot with losses, some of which I've actually brought on myself. And in 2019, I had a falling out with the whole community of friends and colleagues, and I was a strong personality in that venue, and people looked up to me, and so I have some shame around me insisting sometimes that I was right and things like that. But I lost this whole community of friends, and I again was in a pretty deep depression, and that's when I discovered the Year of Miracles, which is a yearly program with Marcy Shymoff about how to manifest the life you love. I also discovered Mary Morrissey, who does Dream Builder workshops, and Joan Borisenko, who does narrative therapy about rewriting your story. And that's when I learned how I could intentionally and actionably manifest these feelings of joy and feeling good about myself and experiencing happiness in a deeper way that I never thought I could. All this time, I've been waiting for something or someone to come along, kind of like my late husband did, and make me happy ever after. And I discovered this idea of embracing these present moments. And so at some point, I think it had to do with some of the conflict between me and my son, I decided, I am a therapist. I teach these strategies. I really need to start practicing in my own life what I teach. And so I started taking these techniques very seriously and intentionally taking the actions that I needed to help my be self become more emotionally regulated. And it just feel like it allows me to be an even more supportive therapist, because I've been on both sides of the desk, so to speak. And so I did discover the happiness certification program, and became certified. So now I am attempting to broaden the scope of my practice and do some life coaching as well as therapy. I, like a lot of people, would like to manifest more income than I have, especially now that I own this house, I have to maintain and support. And so I now am a certified happiness trainer. And did you want me to talk about that now?
Oh, I'd love you to talk about that now and
Okay.
yeah, just keep going. You're doing beautifully.
Okay. So I offer one-on-one coaching, and you can learn about that on my website, which is embracehappiness.me, embracehappiness.me. I am offering a course coming up called Let Go, Forgive, and Set Yourself Free, and that starts on September 4th, and it is 6 Thursdays. You can choose between two times, one morning time and one evening time. It's 6 weeks of live webinars combined with workbooks that participants will receive, where they can receive the written and experiential exercises that we'll talk about, and do them on your own anytime during the course and throughout your life. And it will also include a follow-up support group monthly for a year for those people who want to get together and celebrate their wins and talk about their challenges and set intentions for intentional happy living. So that is something else that I offer. So I will be offering other virtual courses. That's just the current one. And I have some other things in the work that is not, I'm not ready to talk about yet because they're still not quite formulated, but I'm really looking forward to just building on what I already do to help other people. We teach what we most need to learn. And that letting go, forgiving, and setting yourself free, that is definitely one of my life lessons that I seem to repeat over and over again. And I think I'm getting closer to learning it.
What a beautiful way to practice it and teach it at the same time. I have to say that this podcast goes out on the 4th of September in Australian time, which is the 3rd of September in your side of the world. So, people listening to this on the day that it's released, get in quick. Get to embracehappiness.me and get in
Yes.
quick because this is a year's course and you want to get in quick, although you say there's other offerings as well.
It's a 6 week course with follow-up work.
For that's right. Yeah, it sounds absolutely fantastic. Are there well, it's just a couple of other things I wanted to mention. First of all, are there a couple of tips that about happiness that you can give people listening in before they do your course or
Give yourself permission to feel the way you do. Don't push your feelings away. They're valid. If you or others feel that you're unregulated, then find ways to intentionally take action to get the parts of you back, or to build on those parts of you that you really want to learn to love, and come face to face with loving yourself. These excer these in taking intentional action does create results. And if you don't do the work, then you won't get those results. That's what I found. That's why I decided to practice what I preach
do the
and
work.
do the work, but see it as a I get to instead of saying to yourself, I never get this, I can't do that, I always have to do this, see if you can reframe that to saying, I get to be me.
Absolutely beautiful. And the last thing I wanted to comment, you've actually unwittingly segged beautifully into it. There's a bit on your website where you get to jump out of a plane and skydive. And I know it's a few years, but would you just like to leave us with that thought? What happened?
I would love to talk about that. My late husband was a skydiver. He wanted to be a pilot, but he was losing his sight, so he couldn't fly. Had to give up driving. When he was in the Air Force, on a dare, he and some buddies went and learned how to skydive. And after that, he decided that was his passion until he met me. Then I was his other passion. And so he had over 1,938 skydives, and I am very much trying to I would love to make a feature film about him, because skydiving and taking risks is kind of like overcoming barriers. And so one day he and I were at a skydiving event in Oregon at Pacific City, which is right on the ocean. And he never tried to talk me into skydiving. You know, he would never talk anybody out of their comfort zone. And I love the ocean so much. And I turned to him and I said, if I was going to try skydiving anywhere, I would want to do it right here. It was a beautiful, sunny September day on the Oregon coast. And I said, I want to do it because I want to see if I can see the ocean from the air. And I could see the ocean, and I could see Haystack Rock. And I will say, for any skydivers out there, John loved free fall. I didn't like free fall. It was very uncomfortable. But once my tandem master flipped us over, and I was just sitting in the air, and he allowed me to control the steering toggles, I had that experience of flying and feeling free. And talk about happy. I understand why that made my husband so happy. And, you know, he didn't marry me until he was 63. He was engaged, and when his girlfriend found out that he had a hereditary eye condition, she broke off the engagement. And so I didn't know that he was in love with me for a really long time. And we have a beautiful love story. And if anybody's out there listening who's a film producer, come to my website and reach out to me. There's so many beautiful stories inside stories, and mine is multifaceted.
I just love that. That is so beautiful. I mean, I had no idea it was going to unfold in the way that it did. And the call out for producers listening, I think anyone listening to you over this hour would be, you know, just love to get in there and do a story, because you have so much experience and so much lovely energy to share. So thank you. That was absolutely great. I know we've had a dive into your dream, we've had a dive into your life, we've had a dive into your work, we've put out the call for a producer for your show, and I hope you have the feeling now that, you know, no more waiting around, just to enjoy following your inner guide and your inner sight. And thank you so much for being a guest on The Dream Show today.
Thank you, Jane. It's been lovely.
Such a tender dream and such a lovely conversation there. And I particularly loved how Darian put a call out for a potential producer. What a life. She leads so much experience that could be incorporated in a beautiful documentary or film. And she's got courses there which you can do and greatly benefit from too. So a reminder of how to contact Darien, go to her website, which is embracehappiness.me. So that's embracehappiness, all one word, .me. Thank you, as always, to Ewan Gray for sound editing and composing our theme music. To make sure you don't miss any of our future episodes, please hit the follow button at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you normally listen on my website, please pop over to Apple or Spotify, search for the show, search for The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson, and hit follow there, because your follow helps more people discover the show in the first place. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. You can find out more about my services, books and courses at janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. Have a beautiful day. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.